Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Want more Gators Breakdown? Join Gators Breakdown Plus. Starting at $3 a month, get access to unique episodes, plus a blog, chat room, giveaways, shout-outs, and more. Gators Breakdown Plus is furthering the interaction with fans and listeners like you. Head to GatorsBreakdown.supportingcast.fm to join Gators Breakdown Plus today. Gators Breakdown, because there's never a dull moment in Gator Nation.
The Gators Breakdown podcast is ready to go. I'm your host, David Waters. You can find me on Twitter at GatorDave_SEC. Spring football, spring practice in the rearview mirror, so no better time to turn to recruiting, of course. The hot button topic right now for the Florida Gators. And joining me to break it all down from On3 Sports, Gators Online, Corey Bender hops on to give us a preview of recruiting, all these decisions looming large for the Gators in the coming weeks, in the coming months. Corey, man, thanks for hopping on Gators Breakdown.
Absolutely, Dave. Thanks for having me on. It's always good to talk to you.
Absolutely. Been a little while. Not much has happened for Florida in recruiting, so hopefully that changes in the next few weeks, next couple months for the Gators. Some big targets on the board, a lot of big decisions looming, as I said, Corey. But, you know, just before we get into the details of some specific players and everything, as I said, you know, Florida's only got two commits right now. Some of the fan base, of course, is expecting a little more to happen. What's your general feel on recruiting right now for Billy Napier and the Gators?
Yeah, I think right now, I know there are fans that are kind of being impatient. They want the commits right there. I mean, especially right when kids come off visits. But I think pretty soon we're going to see a good string of kids go to Florida. A lot of these big-time kids, they want to get out. They want to take visits. They want to explore all their options. And right now we have a few kids committing in May. Obviously, you have a bunch of highly regarded kids slated to make their commitment this summer. So I think right now we're about to enter that territory where kids are a lot more kids will be coming off the board. They've took their visits. They've kind of seen everything out there. So I think right now I know fans, like you said, like they've had a lot of big time kids on campus in March, and you would like to see some of those kids, you know, pull themselves off the market shortly thereafter, because I know they're looking at other schools like Tennessee and Ohio State, and they're all getting commitments left and right, but not every school is the same, you know. So I know right now fans are kind of licking their chops, ready to see some action, and I think they're going to get that here over the next couple months. I think Florida's trending well for a lot of these kids who are about to make an announcement.
All right, there we go. We'll get into it, but before we do, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button if you're watching Gators Breakdown right here on YouTube. Hey, look, leave a comment. We'll get into all this recruiting talk on that side of it as well. And you'll get that notification when you subscribe when there's a new episode of Gators Breakdown. Be sure to check us out at the home of Gators Breakdown, news4jax.com/GatorsBreakdown. And look, Gators Breakdown Plus giveaway. Look, if you're watching the YouTube version, there is a Gators straw hat for you to get ready for summertime. Join Gators Breakdown Plus by May 10th for your chance to win. And you also get early access to this episode with Corey. So a lot of good benefits there from Gators Breakdown Plus. So, all right, Corey, let's get to it, man. This coming up weekend, we get to look at IMG offensive lineman Najee Harris and his commitment. Gators trending in the right direction, have been for the last few weeks here. Would it be a surprise if Najee Harris does not commit to the Gators on Saturday?
Yeah, I would actually say it's kind of a surprise, man, because even with the old staff, he's from Port St. Lucie. I know Jamar Chaney, he's had a relationship with him for quite some time. So I know either way, with the old staff and the new staff, Florida's been a school that's been near the top of his list for quite some time. And then since Billy Napier's staff came to Gainesville, not only is Billy Napier, Rob Sale, and Darnell Stapleton speaking to him, but as I mentioned, Jamar Chaney, Jabbar Jaluk, it's a lot of staff members heavily involved in his recruitment. And right now, Florida's definitely trending up very well. You got Miami, Texas A&M. Those are some other schools that are in a good spot. Probably Miami is probably the number two school. He did go to A&M and had a good visit out there, but I think all eyes have been on the Gators for quite some time. So I would be very surprised if Florida's not the pick, but you know, recruiting sometimes can kind of take a hard left out of nowhere. But as of right now, I'm expecting Najee Harris to be the next commitment in Florida's class, bearing any major surprises.
Yeah, Corey, man, big position of need for the Gators, too. And not just a position of need, but a position of need where they need to elevate the talent. So what kind of player would Florida be getting in Harris?
Yeah, I think he's a kid. He's versatile. He's definitely an interior guy. Florida's kind of telling him, hey, we like you at guard and center. It's just they're just going to see how it all plays out. They're going to get him on campus and kind of work him at both positions and see where he ends up at. I think he's more of a center long term. I think he's a guy that quick feet for a kid his size, more of a stout run blocker. Definitely good awareness in the trenches, does a good job of picking up blocks, fairly agile for his size as well. He's a versatile kid, definitely interior guy. And a lot of these guys on the board, there's a lot of tackles on the board, a lot of these 6'5", 6'6", guys, and people like that prototypical size. But you kind of need those pure interior guys, not these, I don't like to say tweener, but like guys that can play either one. He's a clear interior guy, and center's a position that's hard to recruit a lot of the time. Not a lot of kids have a good experience snapping the ball, and I know Najee does, so you need those kids who can come in and can play multiple spots and who are comfortable doing so and have done so for many years. So he's a good run blocker, good awareness, and checks off a lot of boxes for Florida. I think he's a kid that over time can eventually become a star if he does go to Florida, you know, after a few years of getting in the weight room and working within the program.
Corey, you mentioned checking off box as well. You know, Florida needs to check off that box of in-state recruiting, and, of course, that can start at IMG. We just talked about Harris right there, Kamari Wilson last go-around in the last class, but some other big names coming from that school, defensive tackle Will Norman, Jordan Hall up there on the defensive line as well, athlete Sam Mpemba there as well. You know, Florida's in on all these guys, and look, we know Florida needs to make inroads at that school if they want to turn around recruiting, and you know, there's a lot to look forward to right there at IMG, more so than in the past.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think – I know obviously getting Kamari, that was a huge step in the right direction. Obviously, you want to get as many kids as you can, but almost the way – with the type of prospect Kamari is, the type of recruiter he is, and just his overall presence as a recruit, it's almost like I made up for multiple kids just considering who it was. And then, like you said, with this 2023 class of IMG, Florida's turning pretty well with a lot of them. Will Norman – I submitted a prediction for him a little over a week ago. He's going to trim his list down even more. But right now, Florida's a school is really pressing the hardest for him. I know Texas A&M and LSU are some other schools in the mix. I was told Florida's pushing harder than those two schools. They're recruiting him harder, making it more of a priority. Penn State's a school, too, that's kind of been in the mix for him over the last several months. But I think with the way Florida's recruiting him, just that comfort level in Gainesville, after taking a couple of visits, he's expected to return for an official at some point, more than likely here at the end of this month or in June. And I don't think he's a kid who will be on the board before the season, who will be on the board when the season starts. I think he'll make a commitment before then. And right now I like where Florida stands with him. And then Jordan Hall's another kid, linebacker. I think right now I think Florida's in that top two, top three range. I think Michigan State might be the front runner right now. Mm-hmm. They've been consistent with them. They've been recruiting him for quite some time. But Florida's made up a lot of ground with him. He'll be officially visiting June 3rd. He's made numerous trips to campus this offseason. Speaks with Coach Bateman, Coach Peterson, and you know, Coach Tony Chaney. I mean, the whole defensive staff, they're really kind of in on him as well. And who knows? I mean, it's one of those things. Michigan State might be trending now, but if Will Norman jumps on board, say, before then, and then obviously Najee Harris more likely will be in the class, that might sway him even more towards Florida, being like, hey, there's some familiar faces I can rely on. So right now Florida's definitely trending up an IMG, and I know you mentioned some other kids too. Samuel Mpemba, he's another kid, number one athlete in the country. His recruitment's a little bit more open right now, understandably so. He has the Georgias, the Notre Dames, everyone really coming after him. Florida, he mentioned back in the spring at the very beginning that it's just a different vibe at Florida now. You know, it's just and the continuity and just the overall home-like family feel in Gainesville now with the new staff. That's something that really made a good impression on them. Florida is more likely going to get an official. Miami's another school in the mix for him, too. He's made his rounds this offseason. I think Florida's, I would say they're probably in the top five range. Not at the top, but not at the back end either. I just think they had to get him on campus for an official. Because he was at the orange and blue game, but like there wasn't much time to speak with the staff. You know, they're getting ready for the game, so I think getting up on campus, having more face time with the staff, will really play dividends with him. And one last kid I'll mention too is the offensive lineman Francis Matua, number one offensive tackle in the country. I think with him, Florida's made up a lot of ground with him. Definitely, I wouldn't say the leader, but they're in line to receive an official, and he's an elite prospect, 5-star kid. And he mentioned in the past too about Kamari Wilson that, you know, they have a relationship. Kamari's recruiting him. So Kamari obviously is worried about his own career in Gainesville, but he has his recruiting cap as well, and really going all in for all his former teammates at IMG Academy.
Sounds good, Corey. And one more note on Mpemba. You mentioned athletes, and if I'm not mistaken, Florida's looking at him more for defense, right? Are there some other schools out there that see him more as an offensive player, or how is that working out for what side of the ball that he'll play on?
Yeah, no, he'll play defense at Florida. I know a lot of people have him as an athlete, but Florida likes him at kind of like the edge role, kind of like a 3-4 outside linebacker type. They like his versatility. Coach Peterson's the one recruiting him, so he kind of shows where Florida kind of is looking at him for, and then Cheney's involved too. But yeah, they like him on defense. The old staff, Tim Brewster was recruiting him, and the defensive staff, so they're kind of giving him the opportunity. Hey, if you want to play tight end, you can play tight end at Florida, but if you want to play defense, you can do that as well. But yeah, at Florida, under the current staff, yeah, they like him at defense.
All right, Corey, so we got to kind of go to the West Coast a little bit for some of these headlines as well. We're talking transfer portal right quick before we get into more high school recruiting in this class of 23. Arizona State transfers, you know, wide receiver Ricky Pearsall visited Gainesville last weekend. Can you give us an update on that? But also an update from you guys on 3 Gators Online yesterday, a new defensive target along the defensive line transfer, Jermaine Lowell, first team All Pac-12 selection, named Outland Trophy watch list, 6'2", 305 pounds, stat machine there so far at Arizona State. It's a position in need for the Gators. You and I kind of talked a little bit yesterday. USC might be it was a dream school for him at one point. And then I went on to read somewhere else that, you know, they offered late, so he didn't want to give them the opportunity again. Hopefully this will benefit Florida. He doesn't want to give USC another chance, but that's the school that seems to be trending if he's going to leave Arizona State.
Yeah, and I know with Jermaine Lowell, I know the main reason why he went in the portal is really mainly because of NIL. He wanted to explore his opportunities and kind of see his value out there. And he was kind of upfront about that from what people were saying. Like he actually prefers staying at Arizona State, but he also wants to, you know, gauge his value out there. And I know Arizona State, they're kind of going through a makeover right now. A lot of kids transferring out, so he's one of those guys kind of exploring his options. And, yeah, he's from Long Beach. So, you know, him growing up a USC fan, you know, that doesn't really surprise me. You know, that's a big offer. I know with the new staff, they're doing a great job recruiting. So if there was a time to go to USC with momentum, it would probably be right now. I'd be shocked if they're not pursuing him. Florida obviously is heavily involved too. Sean Spencer is recruiting him ever since he went in the portal. They're trying to get him on campus this weekend for an official visit. Nothing is scheduled right now, but Florida's really pushing hard for that. Obviously, after missing Daryl Jackson, who ended up at Miami, there's a clear need interior to add some depth there, and he's a guy who can immediately step in and make a strong impact with the likes of Gervon Dexter. So Florida's in the mix. You know, I'm not going to say it's an uphill battle, but it all starts with getting him on campus for an official. That's where it all starts at, and I know Sean Spencer is pushing hard for that, and we'll kind of just see where it goes from here. And then with Ricky Pearsall, I know he's going to take his visits from what I've heard. I know Auburn's in the mix. You got Oregon. You got some other West Coast schools. I've talked to a few sources in Gainesville that they felt pretty good about the visit. They thought the full family was impressed. They liked the potential plan for him and, you know, obviously making an early impact as soon as he gets there. Obviously, the opportunity to play in the SEC against big-time competition, that's another appeal for them. So I think he's going to take his visits, though. I haven't heard anything as far as him making the decision fairly soon. I think he's going to see a few more schools then possibly see where his mind is made up at. But I know Florida, they made a really strong impression. They they're definitely heavily in the mix toward the top of his list. I think it just depends on, too. He's a West Coast kid. So if some of these other West Coast teams get involved, like a USC or other schools, maybe he's more comfortable being out that way. But Florida did the best they could. They made a strong impression, and they're definitely right in the mix for Ricky right now.
Yeah, Corey, I'm hearing Florida-Oregon battle. Probably, like you said, you mentioned Oregon there, so probably the school to watch out for the most as it stands right now. So, Corey, let me throw in a question while we're here on the transfer portal from Gators Breakdown Plus member of Flagship, John. He wants to know, do we have any portal targets left on the defensive line or offensive line we are pursuing? Any contact at all with Ismael Sofer or Cole Brevard?
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about those two names. I know they're planning on pursuing some other guys. There's guys right now that I know that Florida's kind of monitoring in the transfer portal, but they're kind of hanging back a little bit because there's certain guys like a Jermaine Lowell that they're really prioritizing first. And I don't think they're in a big rush, too. I know when they missed out on Daryl Jackson, Florida was, from what I heard from a few sources, that they were, obviously they wanted the kid, but you know they definitely thought he was a talented player, but they still think it's early in the process. They feel confident in their high school recruiting because it's a deep D-line class. I don't think they're in a rush. I know they're going to pursue some other kids in the trenches, offense and defense. But right now, they're being fairly selective from what I know. Jermaine Lowell obviously was a no-brainer as soon as he went in there, instant impact guy. No one really to monitor as far as serious interest right now, but that is expected to change as the portal continues to build up because I feel it's just a never-ending thing right now in college football.
Absolutely, Corey. All right, let's go back a little bit to last week, a big week here in Jacksonville, visiting Treyon Webb, Grayson Howard, Roderick Kearney, and Treyon Webb. Of course, Gators trending very, very well for him, his decision coming up in June. Corey, I'm starting to worry a little bit about Grayson Howard, and not that he's, you know, I have some contact with him here locally. Not that he has said much. You guys know that as well. He doesn't talk much to the media, especially with spring practice going on right now. But Corey, as the old saying goes, follow the visits. And I'll tell you what, South Carolina's making a big, big push there for Grayson Howard. There's one school I'd be worried about if I'm a Gator fan of getting Howard. It would probably be South Carolina as it stands right now. He's planning on releasing his top five after spring practice. And Roderick Kearney, another offensive lineman, but of course we mentioned Najee Harris earlier, but another position in need for Florida. Well, what, Florida State battle probably there right now?
Yeah, I think, we'll start with Roderick Kearney because I think he just left off on him. Yeah, right now I would say Florida State. And I think Florida might have actually taken the edge over the last month or so. I know he's only been there once, but those relationships with Rob Stale and Darnell Stevenson are really strong. But when he did visit last month, it was an eye-opening experience for his family. They definitely had a great time. I don't think he's in any rush. I don't think he's in a rush either. I talked to him last week. No official visit has been scheduled to this point. But right now, I think right now it's safe to say the two in-state schools are trending the best for him.
Hey, Corey, it's those vintage pictures taken, man.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, that's been the game changer, right? Yeah, right. I got to give it up to him because a lot of these kids, they do like that type of stuff. They like the flashy stuff, the uniforms. I thought it was a good twist and something new to throw into the equation when it comes to taking it. I mean, all the schools can put you in the jerseys. Every school can offer that. But I thought the vintage was something really cool and different. So, no, it's definitely really, really cool. And, with Treyon Webb, I think Florida, they're definitely still in the best spot. He'll be on campus again June 3rd as far as official visit. I think on the 9th, so May 9th, I think it's the 9th or 10th, I think May 9th, Jabbar Jalouk is coming to his school. That'll be their second visit to a school this spring. Schools can visit these kids twice. Mike Pearson was by last week. So they're going to come to a school again next week. He told me there's a chance he takes another unofficial to Gainesville. It's possible. Nothing 100% set, but that's definitely something under consideration right now. South Carolina's in the mix. You have some other schools that have made a good impression on him too. You got Penn State. But I think right now in Florida, they're really starting to pull away from the pack. And he told me after his last visit several weeks ago that, it's going to be hard to pull him away from Florida. You know, obviously his uncle's in his corner and the family really prefers Florida too. So I think bearing a huge surprise, I expect Webb to be in the class. And then Grayson Howard, like you said perfectly, you followed the visits and South Carolina's got him on campus over a handful of times. They're really pushing hard. It's the familiarity in camp. It's the familiarity with that staff and just Columbia in general. He's comfortable up there. He's been up there a lot. Likes the plan they have for him from a scheme standpoint. And it's funny. He's his dad grew up a Georgia fan. I think he grew up in the state of Georgia, if I'm not mistaken. I know Georgia was a school he liked growing up. I remember I interviewed him like early in the spring, and that was his dad's school. So I don't know. I don't know how high he is on Georgia's board, but I know that's another kind of school to watch over the long haul, especially if he starts to blow up more and more and his stock continues to rise. But I think right now, Florida and South Carolina, and maybe Georgia as a third school, are the ones I'm probably monitoring the most for Grayson Howard.
Good deal there. Yeah, hopefully Florida ends up pulling that one out. But that one's starting to worry me a little bit, Corey, after I felt pretty good just a few weeks ago. So, all right, Corey, we talked last week about a bit, you know, with the staff being in Jacksonville. But now give us an update on this week. I know you guys at On3 and Gators Online are updating left and right about what's happening this week. The state of Alabama and the state of Georgia in the mix this week.
Yeah. So, yeah, this week. So yesterday they went to go see Tony Mitchell, Pierre Woods, a pair of five-star teammates. Rob Stale was in to see Eli Holstein, one of the top quarterbacks in the country. You got Kelby Collins, a top defensive lineman, and Hunter Osborne was another kid. I'm three prospect right outside of the top 100 defensive linemen. That was Patrick Toney as well. So heavy Alabama, and then today, same type of thing. You got A.J. Harris, another top DB on the board. That was Toney. And then Florida's recruiting his teammate, Tamarian Parker, who's a top 100 edge rusher. He's going to actually take an official in the fall. More than likely will be on campus this summer as well. Florida's in that top three range with Alabama and Ohio State. So Florida's made a real big move with him. The last staff recruited him, and then Florida was actually on top for a little bit, and then they kind of went cold on him. I don't understand why, but that's why he stopped talking to Florida, because he said he went on a visit, and then the old staff just didn't say anything to him. And I just don't get that. I don't know if that was just not playing correctly, but it kind of put Florida in a bad space with him as far as, you know, where they stood. He just cut off all communication. But now with the new staff, obviously it's a whole different regime up in Gainesville. Florida's back in the mix for him. And, yeah, Florida's in the top three. And then you have Keldrick Falk. He's another kid, a top 100 kid that Florida's seeing. We reported first. Yeah, he'll be in June 17th for an official. And the rest of the week should be good, though, man. There's a lot of kids on the thing. Cedric Baxter is on Thursday. And then tomorrow you got Jordan Hall. Up in your way in Jacksonville, and the Osceola kids. So it's another big week on the recruiting trail. A lot of big names being seen this week throughout Florida, but also the Southeast all together.
Corey, any update? Xavier Hardy, of course, I know that the big storyline there, the sunglasses tweet emoji, and a lot of people thought it was meant for Xavier Hardy, and look, it was. So no breaking news there, no surprise there. But, of course, visit South Carolina. South Carolina is now a school that may be trending and may be the final decision if it's coming up anytime soon for Hardy. When at one time it looked really, really good for Florida. Any update on Hardy and just kind of the roller coaster of that recruitment so far?
Yeah, so Spencer will see him on Friday. So they'll actually be visiting him on Friday at school. Can't meet with him, but they'll be at the school to inquire about him, like see his grades and talk to his coaches, all that whole thing. But yeah, I think you said it perfectly, man. It's a Florida South Carolina battle right now. He was going to commit last month, and now that it's kind of out there, he even told me himself that, you know, that was him, and then he didn't know when he was going to do it, though. So I thought maybe he silently committed, and then, you know, he's going to wait a little bit. Then he just kind of pulled back on it and decided not to. And I know from what I've heard, too, other schools kind of got in his ear about that. I think word got out that he's going to commit to Florida, and some other schools were trying to convince him to stay put, which I get it. I mean, that's what recruiting is all about. You don't want one of your top targets to go elsewhere. So I think right now it's Florida, South Carolina. None of his official visits are scheduled. I talk to him almost every other day now. But yeah, Florida's still heavily in the mix. They like him a lot. Coach Spencer will be there on Friday. And I give South Carolina the slight edge right now, but I don't think it's over, though. I think he told me he's going to get back to Gainesville here for an official soon, just has to figure out that date. And once he gets back down to campus, that could all change again. So right now, you give the edge slightly to South Carolina just based off how everything has transpired over the last month of him. You know, he was going to commit, they decided not to, and then South Carolina hosted him. So it's a wait and see with him, but Florida's definitely in that top two for him, and it's just about getting him back in Gainesville and getting the orange and blue back in his face and show him campus and just give those relationships, having that face-to-face communication. So it's a wait and see, but then next step, you definitely got to get him back on campus if you want to win out in his recruitment.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, On3, Gators Online, Corey Bender right here joining us on Gators Breakdown. And Corey, we're talking about decisions looming for top targets and no more top. You've mentioned Tony Mitchell. You mentioned A.J. Harris. Of course, now we got to throw Kamani McLean in there with these headliners in the defensive backfield. What's the latest on those guys as far as maybe a commitment timeline? Look, It could be far-fetched. Florida goes 3-for-3, and there are some people out there that thinks Florida could go 3-for-3. I think 2-for-3 would be ideal. That's at least what you want if you're thinking at it from the Gator perspective, as the way it's trending lately. So those three guys there, Corey, Florida's sitting in a really good shape right now. Those commitments probably come up sometime this summer.
Yeah, I think right now, Cormier McClain's the number one corner. I think Florida sits in the best spot for him out of all three. Right now, it's a Florida-Alabama battle for Cormier McClain. He wants to commit in June. That's the plan. He wants to take his officials over the summer, too. So we're not too far from the finish line. He's referred to Florida as home, and I think that's been key. He's been to Alabama, I think, to my knowledge, just once. Maybe another time early in high school, but in the recent year or so, as he's emerged as a elite recruit, I think it's just been once. And I think that's going to play dividends, man. I know Corey Raymond's recruiting him. They talk to the mom all the time. The whole staff obviously talks to the whole family. So they're really putting it all on the table and going all in for him. I just think, man, when it comes down to it, the comfort level in Gainesville, seeing everything, knowing familiar faces up there from Polk County, Corey Raymond, obviously, there's just a lot of boxes Florida checks off, and obviously Alabama's Alabama. They check off all the boxes too. But I think that familiarity in Gainesville, I think in my mind, that's why I think it's going to win out. Alabama definitely could get them, don't get me wrong. But right now, that's why I'm favoring Florida. I think Florida has a slight edge just because of that home-like feel. And I think with Tony Mitchell, I think right now, I mean, I've heard a lot of different things with him, man. So he said Florida was the leader after he visited Florida. He said the same type of thing about A&M, and then Alabama's got him on campus, I mean, a countless amount of times. He just scheduled an official to Texas. He just said Tennessee's now in the mix. I mean, right now, I mean, his recruitment in my mind is Texas A&M, Alabama, Florida. Right now, I get the edge to Texas A&M. I'd probably put Florida at number two and Alabama at number three. And I say the Crimson Tide at number three right now is, from what I've heard from a few sources, is they're taking a lot of DBs, and that's something – obviously, you love competition, but you also want to have – I mean, like you said, you take too many DBs. It's like, hey, opportunity type thing. And I know A&M, the NIL deals, I know that will probably play a huge factor. Right now, I mean, from what I heard, A&M's in the best spot, but it's extremely, extremely close. Like, I mean, it changes every other couple weeks. So I don't think he's going to make a decision for quite some time. It's going to be a tough battle to the end. But he grew up in Lakeland, loves Florida. I mean, there's nothing Florida's not doing in that recruitment. They're doing a great job. He hasn't scheduled his official visit yet, but Florida, they're going to be right there. It's going to be one of those recruitments where it's either going to break your heart or it's going to make your day. That's the way I look at his recruitment. It's like, Florida, you've done so many good things and you're recruiting the kid well, but time will tell with that kid. I think it's more of a business decision for him. So, and then obviously the last one, AJ Harris. Yeah, I mean, he's kind of in that Xavier Hardy type thing. He was rumored to silently commit when he was on campus, and here we are a month later. Nothing's really happened over a month later, really. I know Georgia's in the mix. You got Ohio State, Clemson. Florida's still obviously in a great spot. They're right there at the top. But his camp has really shut it down as far as lending any details out. I've talked to his dad quite a bit, and he's told me numerous times whenever they do make a decision, they want to do this on the left field. They don't want people knowing about a commitment day. They just want to surprise people. So who knows? Maybe I bring us some good luck and we're talking, maybe he commits today. Who knows? Maybe he commits on National Signing Day. No one has any idea right now. But Florida's still right there at the top for him. It's just he's going to take his visits, and I think that's going to be the biggest hurdle, him going out to numerous campuses, and Florida has to get him back on campus. They'll be out of school today, but like I noticed before, they can't have any communication with him. So we'll just see whenever he gets back to Gainesville.
Corey, let's stay in the defensive backfield for a second. And of course, I was asked this, and I've heard about it as well, so I was able to share that I have heard it as well. But cornerback committed Aaron Gates, of course, committed in the class. Some talk of him maybe flipping, Michigan being a school of interest there. First of all, are you maybe hearing the same thing? And second of all, if that happens, would Sharif Denson here in Jacksonville be more of an option? He may be an option anyway, but, you know, if we're talking a high number, at least volume-wise, of defensive backs for Florida with Gates committed if he stays, and then these three guys we just discussed. If Gates leaves the class, would that open the door for someone like Denson, who could probably play in multiple positions in the back in the defensive backfield, or is he probably an option in this class anyway?
Yeah, I think he's an option anyway, but like you said, I think he's a corner, but I know UF likes his versatility and nickel and stuff. I think Denson's a kid you can kind of move all over the place and kind of take make use of that versatility. Yeah, as far as Gates, I've heard this. Our Michigan insider, E.J. Holland, who's extremely tied in, he put in a flip pick for Michigan. I heard from Gates' camp, who I deal with all the time, that, hey, he's sticking with Florida, man. He's sticking with Florida. He likes it down there. I've heard both sides, right? Michigan thinks they're flipping him. Gates' camp swears that he's not going anywhere. He went to their spring game, Michigan. That's been several weeks now. So you thought if he would have flipped, it would have happened already. So I guess for Florida, that's a good thing. He's still in the class. It's taken several weeks. But he's another one where it doesn't really speak to the media unless you get him in person. Yeah, I mean, he's not one to really talk about, do a lot of interviews. So Michigan feels confident. I know his camp believes he's going to stay put. I think it's just when Aaron makes his announcement, I mean, it's going to be coming from him and just seeing where his heart lies. But, yeah, I've heard both sides of it, man. I think right now it's truly a 50-50. But right now, maybe a little bit more in Florida's favor just because he still hasn't made a decision yet and it's been several weeks. And then Sharif Denson, I talked to him yesterday. Florida's one of his top schools, but I think he shies away from saying that's the leader, even if it was. I don't know if it's actually his front runner, but with his parents there, I think he gets the vibe that everyone thinks he's going to go to Florida, and he wants to play the recruiting game. Yeah, I mean, he's going to take visits. He's went to A&M. He's kind of been all over the place. He took a lot of visits. So Florida, and he made a point to me. He's like, hey, Tony was the first coach. I was the first guy that Tony visited with a wink face. So, like, he took notice that when Tony got on the road, that was his first stop, and he was impressed by that. So he's feeling like a priority for Florida. I know he's talking to Raymond. I know Darnell Stapleton stopped by earlier this year, too, with the first contact, first evaluation period when coaches can get on the road. So he's going to take his visits. I haven't heard of anything him commit. I haven't heard of him committing anytime soon, but it might be one of those situations where if Florida says, hey, we're going to fill up. If you want your spot, join the class. Then I can see him maybe join, but he has a good list of options. I don't think he's going to be forced in any way to like pull himself off the market before he's comfortable doing so. But Florida, considering his ties and just he's been there, he loves the new staff. I mean, you almost have to favor Florida at this point until he goes out and takes some of these more visits. A&M's another school to keep an eye on too.
Yeah, Corey, as we've talked about South Carolina a little bit. In South Carolina, I saw last week sent out the 904 graphic, and it had Webb, and it had Grayson Howard, and it had Sharif Denson in that picture. So it might be another school right there to kind of look out for as South Carolina's recruiting the First Coast pretty well. Corey, all right, let's move on to quarterback recruiting. And I know that's a hot topic right here in Gator Nation right now. And Southern Gator from Gators Breakdown Plus, he goes, what's the status of quarterback recruiting for the 23 class? And is Napier fine with not taking a quarterback in this class if the right one doesn't jump on board? And look, we know Florida needs a quarterback in this class. Napier wants a quarterback in this class. And Corey, one way I look at it, not really trying to make an excuse here, but look, I'm not a big believer in – overall recruiting of recruits having to see it on the field. You're either a salesman or you're not. But I do make exceptions for the quarterback position, and especially in this scenario. So to me, if Florida is going to get a big target, I think it will have to come because Anthony Richardson goes out there and has a big year this fall. Any reason that could be different and we see one commit before then if it's a big name?
Yeah, I think right now, I think you said it too, Dave, like they want to take a quarterback this class. And I know they've looked at some guys in the transfer portal as well, nothing firm, but just kind of looked around at some names. And there hasn't been too many really great options if you're Florida. I mean, if you're a mid-power five program, you can take a little bit more, a few more shots at some kids. But I think Florida, there hasn't been an overwhelming amount of guys in the portal, even if, because I know right now in high school, man, that's the one position that Florida just isn't trending up at right now. Eli Holstein, I mean, I was told he had a good visit, but nothing concrete enough for him to return. Alabama's heavily trending for him, too. I know him and Arch Manning. I was told Alabama would take either one, just whoever wants to jump on first. So with Holstein, I think that's a long shot. Jaden Rashada, that's another kid out on the West Coast he just offered. To me, his recruitment's already almost wrapped up. I mean, Florida offered, but or it's Oregon, Ole Miss, and some other schools, Miami. Miami just offered his brother in junior college. Unless he takes a visit out here, which I haven't heard of him doing so, I just think that's a long shot, too, just because nothing to do with Florida. He's almost done with the recruiting process. He wanted to make a decision in the spring. And then the one I said for a while was Dylan Lonergan out of Georgia, who's a dual sport kid, another South Carolina lean. I think it's South Carolina and Stanford on top. And he liked Florida. I heard like he was almost kind of considering Florida as a top four, top three school. And he did put him in his top five. But here's the surprising part. I talked to Dylan last week and the week before. He told me he has not talked to Florida since he visited campus. I don't know why. Yeah, and I don't know what the reason was behind that. But he met with the baseball program. He's obviously a top 100 kid, big-time baseball player. And I think that's why South Carolina is trending, just because he has a great relationship with the football staff but also the baseball staff. It's another situation where he's just been up there so many times in Columbia, so the familiarity and the comfort level is very high. But yeah,
and Corey, and correct me if I'm wrong, Florida's not had great luck with kids who want to do the baseball football thing.
No, yeah, you're definitely you hit that out of the nail. Yeah, so that's the thing too. It's not a situation Florida's trended up with at all too in recent memory, and obviously it's a new staff and everything, but I always was saying the way everything sounded like he came down to Gainesville, and I thought obviously the other two schools, Stanford and South Carolina, they're going to be tough to beat. But I was like, well, Florida's probably the most real. That might be the most realistic quarterback target right now. And then he threw me a curveball. He's like, no, man, honestly, I haven't talked to them since my visit. And that was like in mid-March. And I don't know what the reason was before. So to me, I'm not going to say officially they moved on. I mean, I'm just going by what the kid is telling me. And they offered the kid and they liked him. But so right now, then you have Dante Moore, who is from Detroit. He was a five-star kid. He's another one that doesn't reveal much at all. He admits that. He likes to keep things close to vest. But Chad Simmons, who's pretty dialed in and on three with his recruitment, said Florida actually is heavily in the mix for him. Like, they're in a better position than many think. Not saying leader, none of that, but they're definitely up there. He just went to Oregon on official, went to LSU. Notre Dame was considered the front runner for a while. They're still there, but I don't know if it's as concrete as it was about a month or two ago. But Florida's definitely in the mix to get an official. It's going to come out of left field. He came down the campus a little over, like, about a month ago. Really like the academics of Florida. Really the offense, how it fits them, how it fits his skill set. A lot of stuff, like, really impressed him about Florida. But to be considered a real contender, you got to get that official visit locked in. They're definitely in the mix for one of those last officials. So other than that, though, I mean, it's a position right now that's pretty wide open. And obviously, you have the kid over at Nice High School, too, who's committed to Penn State. And I think
Marcus Stokes.
Yeah, with Marcus Stokes. So it's kind of, do you go ahead and offer him? And then there's nothing guaranteed that he's going to flip, because he might have a mindset where, hey, you passed on me the first time for these other guys. I'm happy at Penn State, who's, hate to say it, but they're out recruiting Florida right now. I know it's early, but they're putting together a nice class. And he might think, hey, I can get on the field early at Penn State, or even within a few years. So it's an interesting thing. I know he told me if Florida did offer, it would be something. He didn't say game changer, but yeah, I mean, it would be a huge offer for him. But does that mean he's guaranteed to flip? Definitely not. So it's going to be, that's the one position right now in the class I'm very interested in seeing where they go, because right now it's just, if it's not transfer portal, they're probably going to have to offer some more kids, unless, Dante Moore, some of these other guys come out unofficial.
Yeah, Corey, you mentioned Stokes there. I think that's one other problem. There's not a lot of high-level in-state Florida quarterbacks either for Florida. Kind of just, guys who maybe grew up Gator fans that make the commitment or make the recruitment a little easier. They don't have that advantage.
Yeah, it's a down year as far as overall skill in the state of Florida for quarterbacks. Not saying there's good kids out there, but Florida's Florida. Yeah, I mean, when you go to the University of Florida, a top-notch SEC school, you're looking for those program changers, those big time quarterbacks. And right now, there just isn't a lot of depth in the state when it comes to that.
All right, a few more thoughts from Corey before we sign off here on this episode of Gators Breakdown. Corey, coming up July 23rd. So we're just a couple months away from that too, but big time recruits Malik Bryant, Peyton Kirkland, Derek LeBlanc all make their decisions on July 23rd. Malik Bryant just come out with his top five. We've seen all these visits from Kirkland and LeBlanc. Where do you think this stands for those three top guys?
I talked to a source yesterday regarding LeBlanc. It's all eyes are still on Florida there. You got Miami and Oklahoma. They're in the mix too. There's some people up in Norman that feel pretty good about Peyton Kirkland and Derek LeBlanc. Believe it or not, there's people behind the scenes that think Oklahoma is the dark horse for both those kids. And And I know Blake, I was talking to Blake, you know, at 247, we were talking about the other day, and he was hearing similar things too, that Oklahoma could be a dark horse for those guys. But I think Florida, I know Florida's very confident in getting LeBlanc. I'd be surprised if they don't get him on July 23rd. I think he's the one that's the best chance of getting. And they all three of them haven't said they're a package deal. Right. They could be, but it's not guaranteed. So I think LeBlanc in Florida, that's where I'm leaning there for sure. I think with Kirkland, it's Florida, Miami, and Oklahoma. Those are the three main schools. I mean, Michigan State, too. I know his mom's really high in the program, Michigan State. He's been there a bunch of times. So they're in there, too. He likes all his schools a lot. You would think almost the way the attention he shows to these schools, you think, oh, man, that could be the leader. But he always has said it's going to be super difficult to separate one school, and I understand that because you can see he could end up at all four of these schools. Alabama's the fifth school. I just don't see it happening right now. I don't know where he's on the board. I know they're recruiting him hard, but he's visited the other programs numerous times. But I think it comes down to Miami, Florida, and Oklahoma for Peyton Kirkland. Right now, man, I mean, I'm favoring Florida, but not as much as I was a few weeks ago. It's almost like 55% Florida, you know what I mean? It could go any way. I know Miami, he had a visit to Miami that opened up his family's eyes a lot. And that was a strong visit. Oklahoma, I've talked to some people, like I said, there's rumor that Oklahoma feels like they might get them. They feel like Kirkland is going to surprise people and pick the Sooners. So it's his recruitment has gotten very interesting in recent weeks. But right now, I'm still slightly favoring Florida. He's going to take his official visits in June, all of them. So I think that's going to be the true concrete decision. How do these official visits go? Right now, I would pick Florida, but when he gets back on the road and sees all these programs again, I think that's where it's going to get pretty interesting for him. And then you got Malik Bryant. I think right now it's Florida and Alabama. I'd probably give the slight edge to Alabama, but not by much. He named Alabama the leader a few weeks ago. Same thing with him, though. He's coming back to campus in June for an official. That's going to be very huge for both parties. But, yeah, I mean, there's a chance Florida gets all three. And then you have a small chance of maybe just getting LeBlanc. I mean, it just depends. And then or you get Kirkland and LeBlanc. So it's funny how this is shaped up. It's not as easy as predict, not as easy to predict as it was a month or so ago. So these officials for all three of these kids, other than LeBlanc, I'm pretty confident LeBlanc ends up in Gainesville, but for Kirkland and Bryant, these officials will probably play a huge factor in where he ends up.
All right, Corey, let's switch to a little bit of trench talk right here. Gators Breakdown Plus member Swagadelic asked, are you expecting any significant uptick in recruiting along the line of scrimmage for this class of 2023? Who are top or must-have targets in 23 for offensive tackle, defensive line? Of course, Corey, Cameron James is a defensive end whose name is coming up, getting some recent love lately. Mentioned LeBlanc and Kirkland just now, but Keon Keeley's name, I know that's kind of just been hovered out there for a little while. Maybe a potential flip candidate from Notre Dame, but nothing much has really come from that yet. Princewell, Uman Mielen, of course, the brother of Princely. Five-star Peter Wood, you guys reported yesterday, now maybe visiting Florida. A few more. There's a few more names right there as far as defensive line goes. Now defensive tackle, of course, the biggest position in need. John Walker's a name, maybe projected for Ohio State. We mentioned Will Norman earlier. What about the trenches on the defensive side for the Gators first?
Yeah, I think Jordan Hall up in your way. I mean, he's a major target for Florida. He's not going to announce until like February time, but I know he's very high on Florida's board, top priority, and I like his. He has a great personality too. I think. I was talking about this with someone the other day, man. He kind of has that captain feel. He's a very mature kid, a very hard worker. Just kind of has like a business-like approach, which a lot of kids his age do not have. I think he'd be a huge addition just for the locker room and then obviously his skill set. He's a top 100 kid. Florida's probably in the top two range for him right now. FSU's right there too. He's taking his visits, but Florida's really high in his list just because of how the new staff has recruited him. I think LeBlanc's a must-get just considering how much time they put into the kid and how much he's been on campus. He's an Under Armour All-American. You know, he's a top 100 kid as well. I would consider both of those kids must-gets. I actually like John Walker more than a lot of the kids on the board. I love his film. I think he's still underrated and he's a top 100 kid. I really like his skill set. Like you said, Ohio State, I was talking to his coach yesterday about it. He has all these official visits scheduled, USC, UCF, Ohio State, and there's one more I'm missing. And right now, I haven't gotten back. He hasn't gotten back to me about a Florida official. I'm pretty sure they're going to get an official from him. But right now, it's kind of Ohio State's kind of school trending a little bit. But he did like Florida a lot as a kid. And then right. Garrett goes there. They're not considered a package deal by any means. But I think Florida's still heavily in the mix for Walker. I really do. I think when it comes down to him deciding, I can still see him ending up in Florida, no doubt about it. Those are the main guys. I would say Peter Woods, he's coming for an official in June, but I'd be very, very surprised if he doesn't go to Alabama. He's right. almost nearly an Alabama lock at this point. But Florida's the way, from what I heard from a few sources, that Florida believes, hey, if we get him on campus, anything can happen. And you don't turn away a kid like that. I don't care like how kid might be silently committed to Alabama since his freshman year. If a kid says he wants to visit, he's a five-star DT, top 25 kid, you take him, you bring him to campus, and you hope for the best, you know? So Alabama's trending heavily right there for him, but I think right now it's you just got to get on campus and hope for the most. And I think those are the main guys as far as must-gets. There's other guys on the board. I mean, Keon Keeley would be hitting the jackpot, right? I mean, he would be – he's a projected – like, I mean, a lot. I don't like projecting draft picks this early, but, like, when they do these final articles, like, who's a long-term type prospect, Keeley's right there at the top as far as a guy who should have a really good college career. He loved Florida as a kid, right? I mean, we interviewed him last fall when before he really blew up, right? Like, he was still a big-time recruit coming to Notre Dame, but – was still fairly new to recruiting, and he was still open to doing interviews. And I've never interviewed – we've never interviewed a kid that was so – like, about the words he said about Florida. You would think this kid was the leader of the class the way he was raving about Florida. And you could just tell he loved him as a kid. But Notre Dame is – I mean, that's – right now that's home for him, you know. And he's been up there a lot. He's very comfortable up in South Bend. And if he was to flip to another school, I think it would be Florida. But the chances of that happening are still – I mean, there's a lot of work to do. Yeah, I mean, unless – I think Florida has to have a really good season and they have to continue to get him on campus. He's only been there once, from my knowledge, in early March. So they have to get him on campus this summer and hopefully for a few games, and hopefully the on-field play and opportunity sways him. But, yeah, he would be the jackpot. But I think right now, defensive line, I think you got to look at Jordan Hall and Derek LeBlanc as two guys for sure, just because of the way everything's trending right now. And – I mean, Peyton Kirkland, too, he's not the most – I mean, he's a four-star. He's not some five-star kid, but you got to be realistic, too. I mean, there's must-gets, and there's guys that are realistic gets. And I just think you can get all these guys, like the kid from IMG, Francis Mahua. Like, he's a five-star kid, big-time kid, but you can't get your hopes up for a kid like that, especially right now. So you just – you got to stick with the guys that are the most realistic additions. I think those are the guys I mentioned.
Yeah, and so you just mentioned Kirkland. You know, when we shift the offensive line, of course, we talked about Harris earlier. We talked about Kearney earlier. But Florida still has some other viable options out there along the offensive line. Bryce Lovett, he commits May 16th. You know, Florida's definitely heavy in that one. Lucas Simmons, all the tweets going his way and his recruitment, and Tommy Kinsler as well. Still, it looks like, you know, those group of names we just mentioned and those group of those names I just brought up there, kind of you see it taking shape a little bit.
Yeah, I think, like you said, Bryce Lovett, he's another one I'd be surprised if he – when we started the call, we're talking about guys who can come join Florida's class here soon. I think right now, yeah, Bryce Lovett's one that I'd be pretty – I'd be very surprised if he's not in Florida's class here in a couple weeks. And then, obviously, right now with Tommy Kinsler, it's interesting, right, because we would have thought he would have been in the class already. He was already, kind of yep. – Florida's been his leader since last year, and – recently, he told me it's pretty even between Florida and Florida State. I'm trying to get a little bit more intel on that. I don't know how high he is on the board right now compared to some of the other guys. I know Florida likes him, but, you know, I talked to Tommy, and from what he told me, they haven't been by his school yet. And that kind of, when you said follow the visits, follow the coaches' visits too, who did they go out and see during this evaluation period. I'm going to reconnect with him later, but you would think you'd been in the class by now. And then Lucas Simmons is Florida's definitely rising with him. I was told his first visit to Florida, he not saying it didn't go well, but it was so-so. He was kind of like, you know, I like Florida, but, you know, there's some other schools I like more. These last two visits have really catapulted the Gators up his list. Really impressed with Stapleton and Sale, the way they teach things and the way they give them constructive criticism in a way like, hey, just do this and you'll see better results here. And he's super impressed by that and just – all the little tricks and little tips they give him. And then, obviously, with Coach Napier, he calls him genuine. straight to the point, really likes that coaching staff. And obviously with all, like you said it too, Dave, with all the tweets they put out, he's feeling like a major priority for Florida. He's been talking about officially visiting on the 10th of June. I reconnect with him last night. He hopes to come on that date, but it's not scheduled yet, just with his parents' schedule. He's trying to figure out if that'll work. USC's in the mix, FSU, Tennessee. Those three schools already have official visits scheduled from him. But Florida's definitely climbing his list. Not the leader, but they're trending up where they can definitely get that top spot by the time fall comes around. And you can almost, and also, Dave, you can almost put him in a must-need too. I know he's more of a work in progress, more of a raw prospect, but you can't deny that kid's potential at 6'8", a lean frame, very coachable, good kid. I mean, obviously, as a left tackle, the potential is through the roof with him. So with the amount, you can almost put him in that category too, just with the amount of attention he's gained from Florida. They obviously want him really bad, and they're probably considering him as a must-get as well.
All right, Corey, last one here, coming from Gators Breakdown Plus member Bubba as well. He goes, he's curious about their wide receiver board. Deepest, a very deep wide receiver class in the state of Florida this cycle. Hakeem Williams, Tyler Williams, Aiden Mazzell, Tyree Patterson in the class already. But to add those names is as very possible additions to the class. Throw in Eugene Wilson, DeQuavious Story as well. There are some options for Florida at this wide receiver position. And, Corey, you mentioned it earlier. We don't know what's going to happen with Florida's quarterback recruiting, but maybe get some of these guys in the class early in these next few weeks, these next few months. Maybe that could sway a quarterback down the road.
Absolutely, yeah. If you're a quarterback and you see a potential wide receiver corps like that with a lot of big names, you're almost like, man, that's just one class. Think of the other classes they brought and stuff, and the guys will be in the 2024 class as well. But, yeah, absolutely, man. I think as they're going to take – it's going to be a fairly big wide receiver group. I know I've heard four receivers. I heard potentially five. I mean, it's going to be a big group of receivers they're going to take. And I think it's going to depend on the transfer portal too. Like if they get Ricky Pearsall out of Arizona State, that number will kind of – one of those scouts will go towards him. But – right now, as far as high school, there's a lot of options. I think with Aiden Mazzell, I submitted a pick for him, last week? And nothing's concrete yet. I just think with the way the momentum is with his recruitment, Florida's the school trending and buzzing the most right now. He's going to do a top five and take his visits. But I actually just talked to his mom about 20 minutes ago while we're interviewing. I was DMing her about official visit plans. They said that official visit is in the works. Nothing's set yet. But I like where Florida stands there. Eugene Wilson out of Tampa Gaither. He's more of a slot guy. He's the kid right now trending towards Florida. That's the heavy leader. I don't think he's going to be on the board by the time the season starts. I would think he's going to hopefully make a decision here in the next several months. Florida's definitely trending there. You already have Tyree Patterson in the class. And, I think Tyler Williams, that's another kid at Lakeland who a lot of fans really want. They're invested in. Big-time prospect. He's only been playing receiver for a year. But, man, the year he did have, it looks like he's been playing for much longer than that. Bigger receiver, long strider, can really move in the open field. So he's another kid. I know Clemson and Georgia are the two schools guaranteed to get an official. I think they actually already did lock in dates. And then Florida's heavily in the mix for an official. He hasn't said they're definitely going to get one, but at this point I'd be surprised, if they didn't. Florida's got him on campus several times in the last couple months, and they're trending up with him a little bit. They've hosted him more than anyone, I believe, this spring, too. So that's a good sign for Florida. I know he has all the familiar faces from Polk County in his ear as well. Getting him and Mazzell, and then just getting those two kids would be big enough. But then you mix them in with Tyree Patterson and Eugene Wilson. That's a stellar recruiting wide receiver group. And then you also have Creed Whitmore, who is right. Plays quarterback for his high school. But
Corey, I'm ashamed. I don't know how I forget to add him.
Oh, no, it's a huge class, man. And and he's an inside guy slot. I know he plays quarterback, but you see the way he moves the open field. He's a very athletic kid, very smooth, elusive, just a good overall athlete. And just based off where his recruitment is, I'm happy for him because a lot of people thought, okay, he's just getting an offer because of Trent, but he has Miami, Michigan, Texas A&M. A lot of schools have jumped on board. A lot of schools are offering him, and they have nothing invested in that. It's not like, hey, if we get him, Trent's going to transfer to our school. It's nothing to do with his Florida connections. They just like this kid. They think he has a fairly high ceiling at receiver. So it shows that Florida's eval is pretty good there with the old staff too, because they offered him last summer. So I think if you get him, he's kind of like a mid to high three-star. who knows? Maybe he ends up being like a low four-star type by the time he signs. So you have a lot of options at receiver right now, and you can make an argument that Florida's trending for all of them, really. I mean, besides Tyler Williams, I think Florida's trending up, and they're definitely making a move as recruitment. But the other names you mentioned, yeah, you can say Florida's definitely trending for, probably for all those kids.
Corey, man, I can't thank you enough here. Really in-depth preview right here on this class of 2023 and the transfer portal for the Gators. That might be the best preview that's going to be out there for recruiting for the next few days or so. So, Corey, what you guys got going on three so they can catch even more of your coverage, man?
Yeah, absolutely. And wait, real quick, too, Dave, I'll mention one more name, Malik Benson, the JUCO wide receiver.
I'm glad you brought him up. I brought him up last week, but I haven't heard much in about a week, I guess.
Yeah, so I know Kerry Colbert came to see him last week, and Flores expected to make his top grade. He's supposed to trim his list here in a couple of days, I believe. I think next week or the end of this week. I think Flores should be in that group. And then he told me he'll let me know when he schedules his official visits after spring. And considering he knows that I cover Florida, it almost makes me feel like, well, maybe Florida's going to be in that group or something like that. That's trying to connect the dots with that. But, but yeah, that's another kid. Obviously, there's room to work to do there. But getting a kid like that, arguably the best JUCO receiver, that'd be huge too. But, yeah, as far as Gators Online, man, we're running a seven-day free trial right now. So no risk there. Give us a chance. You know, just go check out the site. We always have, I think just in the last 2 days, we have like 13 recruiting articles and tons of team stuff, NFL draft. I know Zach did a look ahead to next year's draft and highlighting the top Florida prospects for that. Nick's doing baseball and doing fun stuff. So give us a try at no cost. You know, it's a 7-day free trial. And if you like us, stick around. If not, no hard feelings. And yeah, like I said, we're just trying to build a massive site over there. And so far, I think over 6,000 people. So it's been going good.
Good stuff, Corey. Good deal. Hopefully a commitment article coming on Saturday.
Yeah, no, hopefully, man. Yeah, stay tuned. We, like you said, like we were talking about before, bearing any surprise, I think Florida is definitely trending for Najee Harris. So if he does go to Florida, expect a boatload of content to follow.
Sounds good. Corey Bender on three, Gators Online, joining us right here on Gators Breakdown. Corey, man, I can't thank you enough. Thank you so much for doing this.
Absolutely, brother. Have a good day.
You too, man. All right, that'll do it for this episode of Gators Breakdown. I am your host, David Waters. You can find me on Twitter at GatorDave_SEC. Guys and girls out there, thanks for listening to this episode of Gators Breakdown.